Item 10, public hearing, consideration of proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 20-1090 pertaining to license requirements, license fees, Regulation 4 VAC 20-610 pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting, and Regulation 4 VAC 20-200 pertaining to the requirements for reporting oyster transaction and payment of taxes, affecting the methods for payment of oyster taxes, reporting of harvest from leased grounds, and establishment of oyster and clam aquaculture license. Dr. Wesson.
Yes, sir. These three regulations are all tied together in step following last year's General Assembly when we the agency requested to stop collecting taxes on oysters, and the industry did not like that, and so we had made that request because the cost of collecting the taxes was exceeding the amount that was collected. Industry wanted to keep the taxes, and actually there was some talk of increasing the taxes that they didn't do, but they did switch our inspection tax from, had a builder switch that from going to the general fund into the special oyster fund. And in the process of doing this, a law was passed to switch the collection of the taxes from a law enforcement-based collection to some other system we'd have to come up with. And what we're doing is basically changing Regulation 200 so that the oyster buyer, instead of bundling up his 53s, putting a summary report with them, and giving the tax money to the law enforcement officer, the same process will be gone through, and they'll send it directly into the office here to accounting through our office. So that's just a housekeeping change. But when we had considered removing the taxes, we also thought that it would be best to incorporate oysters into mandatory reporting. And it still may turn out that down the road it's too expensive to do this system also. And it's the one thing about the tax system is we never have the data as quick as we'd like to have it, because it's there's lag and it's a slow entering process. And we have a mandatory reporting system that gives very quick turnaround on harvest. And so in 610, we are basically adding the oyster harvest into mandatory reporting. And we're also including private oyster leases. And along with that, we're asking that the clams and aquaculture on private leases get included in mandatory reporting. And because we didn't have a license, you don't have to have a commercial fishing license in order to work on private grounds. We had to come up with another license that would then be the license that went on the form so we'd know who the person was. And so we need an oyster or clam aquaculture license for those people that don't have, especially for those people that don't have a commercial fishing license, but it'll be for anybody that is doing harvesting from private grounds. So these three regulations describe that process of mailing in your taxes. It's basically the same as we've been doing, along with now incorporating oyster harvest and clam harvest from private grounds and oyster harvest from public grounds into mandatory reporting. The license fee is $10 for the clam aquaculture license and $10 for oyster aquaculture license. And in your briefing, we had said it would be a January 1st start date, and we're going to make it effective February 1st, so that we have plenty of time to get the word out to all the people on these changes that we think will be minimally obtrusive, but we need the information on the private ground harvest for both oysters and clams. Gives us some information on how oyster aquaculture is growing, as well as how big clam aquaculture is. We're constantly having to make recommendations on land use things that are going on, that we get information from DEQ, we're supposed to respond, and it would be very good to have information on how much aquaculture is around for us to make better responses to those public comment.
It's
items.
Any questions of Dr. Wesson? Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
This matter is a public hearing. Anyone in the audience pro wishes to speak in support of this proposal? Mr. Erskine?
Commissioner, members of the commission.
Go ahead, AJ.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak again. AJ Erskine with Bevan's Oyster Company and Coward Seafood. We wish to voice our strong support for an adoption of an aquaculture license in Virginia. Certainly, it would go a long way to, allow VMRC the enforcement to keep these expanding industries within proper responsible guidelines, as well as make the information available so they can actively, manage an expanding industry. So we strongly support that. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come forward, please.
Yes, I'm Mike Pearson with Cherry Snow Aqua Farms.
Mike, good to see you.
And echo AJ's recommendation. We believe, not big fan of regulation, but in this case, I think this is something we absolutely have to have. Licensing and reporting of aquaculture shellfish, so that the industry can be regulated responsibly, and also so that the state knows how important an industry this is.
I think we know that, but this will certainly bolster that argument for sure. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Yes, sir. Mr. Leggett, come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the Commission. Tommy Leggett with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and I'm also a private shellfish grower myself. And CBF supports this. CBF has been supporting commercial oyster farming, and I do believe that reporting of the harvest will go a long way in documenting our success and what kind of impact we are having in oyster aquaculture as well as clams. So CBF is supporting this, and myself as a private grower as well. Thank you,
Tommy. Appreciate it. Any further comments? Okay, no further comments. Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion or action. Mr. Tankard.
I move that we adopt staff's recommendations on these regulations. I can read them all if you like, but
that's okay. If we can reference them as being item 10 on the agenda of December 19, 2006.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Robbins. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. It's clear that aquaculture is going to play an increasingly important role in the shellfish industry in Virginia. And I think I'd like to commend industry and Chesapeake Bay Foundation for their support of this move. I think it'll do a lot to further the state's understanding and the public's understanding of the importance of the industry.
Point well made. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments. The next item on the agenda is item 11, request for public hearing, proposed amendments to regulation 4 VAC 2510 pertaining to amberjack and cobia to provide for the lawful aquaculture of cobia. Mr. Travelstead.
There is a growing interest here in Virginia in the culture of cobia. Virginia Institute of Marine Science has done some work to show that that is possible. Virginia Tech, both at its Blacksburg campus as well as its facility in Hampton, is currently engaged in a lot of groundbreaking research on the aquaculture of cobia. And just last October, Governor Kane announced a joint venture by a company called Virginia Cobia Farms that will invest over $30 million to develop a new technology to farm cobia out in Saltville, Virginia, which is quite a ways west of here. The technology will actually allow this saltwater fish to be raised in quite a bit less saline water. And I won't go into the technology, but there is some material behind your evaluation that describes it. We're interested in this issue for two reasons. First of all, the agency and the commission are pro-aquaculture. We would like to see this succeed. We think it brings something to the economy of Virginia we don't have now, and it will estimate it to generate about 60 new jobs for the Saltville area, which are sorely needed. The second reason we're interested is we have a regulation that's designed to protect the wild stocks of cobia, and we need to make some repairs to it to allow for the aquaculture of cobia to go forward in an unrestricted measure, as long as it's not harming the natural stocks. We have no indication that it will. So there are three areas where we need to amend our cobia regulation. First is to create a permit for the aquaculture of cobia. The permit would exempt its holder from the size limits and possession limits on cobia that are currently contained there. There's a 37-inch minimum size limit. You're obviously going to have fish less than that in an aquaculture facility. It also limits commercial harvesters to 2 fish per day. Well, to start any aquaculture facility, you need brood stock. You need animals from the wild from which you can generate your genetic lines that you will use to run the facility. But you're obviously going to need to harvest more than 2 per day. And so this permit would allow for that exemption from that limit. We'll also need to require some labeling of aquacultured cobia in the marketplace so that it's easily identified versus the wild stock, so that we don't get the two confused when it comes to enforcing the regs. And then finally, we want to make sure that aquacultured cobia are not introduced into the natural waters of Virginia for disease reasons. We don't want to take a chance of altering the genetics of our wild stock or introducing diseases to the wild stock from an aquaculture facility. Staff is requesting a public hearing in January to adopt those changes to the regulation.
Mr. Robbins?
I have one question, Mr. Chairman. Jack, is there going to be any certification required for the permit? In other words, is somebody going to have to qualify to be an aquaculture facility in order to receive a permit? How do you envision that playing out?
We have similar provisions in our striped bass regulation where we allow for permits for striped bass aquaculture. And in those cases, we do require certification. But our concerns there deal mostly with the outfall from the facilities such that the aquaculture striped bass don't escape into the natural environment,
right?
The young fish. And because striped bass can survive in fresh water, that's an obvious concern. We don't see that being the case with cobia aquaculture. On the other hand, I don't think we want to be in a position of handing out an cobia aquaculture permit to anyone who requests one. I mean, I think you will have to show proof that you have a bona fide facility.
So they'll have to make application to
there will be an application
to the commissioner
process,
or the staff.
Yes, describing what you intend to do and how you intend to go about it.
Thank you.
Jack, the striped bass regulation also provides for inspection procedures as well, does it not?
Yes.
In the aquaculture facilities? I think it's important we include those for sure in this one as well. Any other comments or questions? This is a request for a public hearing. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move to hold a public hearing in January on this matter.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins.
Second.
Seconded by Dr. McConaughey. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is failure to report harvest as required by 4 VAC 20610 pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting. One of the most important things as we manage our fishery. Ms. Iverson.
Yes, sir. I'm here before you